You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I shouldn't think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
So cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to the latest edition installment of Positive Cynicism. Before we get into this month's show or this week's show, it's a weekly show. It's not a monthly. It's even though if you're waiting 6 months down the road and you just discovered the show, you're binging. You have like an entire day's worth of episodes to listen to. So either way, it's a new episode as I record it. Before we get into the crux of what the show is about for this episode, let me take the time to plug everything here at the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, we have all the great, wonderful shows. We have Kevin Huntsberger's My 1-2-3 Cents, All Your Wrestling Needs. I think he is slowly moving over from, you know, the mainstream world of pro wrestling into more of a indie side and Stride Wrestling promotion for the promotion Stride Wrestling, which he is a part of, and he is 2-0. Somehow he escaped the cage last month, and good for him. And then you have Greg Mahochko's Nerds United. He is coming up on episode 100, and we're still trying to figure out how to get Kevin Smith onto his show. So far, the most closest we've gotten is Kevin liking a tweet that I sent begging him and offering him $20 to be on the show. So Kevin Smith, if you happen to listen to this, go on Greg's show. It's fun. He'll probably say how great you are, and that's what everybody wants to hear, right? And then Greg also has the Five Heart Podcast, which is all about Nebraska Cornhusker sports. Again, I, not being a Cornhusker, I don't really know what the show's about other than Nebraska. So if you like Nebraska, if you live in Nebraska, if you've driven through Nebraska, if you can find Nebraska on a map, give that show a listen. I myself obviously have the Positive Cynicism podcast. We have themes every other week, This week we'll get into, it's going to be more of a movie theme for the second week of the month coming up for the next few months. Third week of the month is always Question Everything. Fourth of the week is the Wonder Why edition, where we break down a one-hit wonder and try to figure out why they only had one hit. And also, as you may know, if you are listening to this before October 28th, 2018, I am training to run my first half marathon and am trying to raise money for the St. Jude Hospital. So if you want to help out with that, go over to the Positive Cynicism Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter at Chad Smart. You will find more information on how you can donate, and every little donation is gratefully appreciated. Now let's go into the commercial break, and we'll be right back with a discussion of bad publicity and why people hate things before they see them.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the host of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And over the years that I've been running the Nerds United show, I've been fortunate enough to speak with many of my talented friends, both artists and writers, creators of comic books. But I've also spoken with some more recognizable names in comics and entertainment. Legendary artist Greg Land. Hey, we Greg's got to stick together. Writer Colin Bunn, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and comic book creator DMC Daryl McDaniels, The Flash of yesteryear, and in more recent memory, Flash's dad, John Wesley Shipp, and a lot more. And I encourage you to subscribe to the Nerds United podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can check it out anytime you want on jitterymonkey.com. And as founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, I really do appreciate your support. When you share a podcast, you help get our little corner of the podcasting world out to even more people. So anytime you do that, you really don't know how much we appreciate it. So share away.
What do Heaven's Gate, Geely, Justice League, Waterworld, Titanic, Avatar, and the latest Solo, A Star Wars Story have in common? We'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to introduce my co-host for this episode. You've heard him before on the show if you've been listening. He was last here when we discussed the last Star Wars film, which I don't even want to mention the title of. But
oh,
killing me.
Eric Bennett, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I know this one is one that we have talked about, and hopefully next month we will kick it off doing the whole series looking at the evolution of Hollywood blockbusters from the 70s when Jaws and Star Wars created the term blockbuster through the 80s, 90s, and now into the Marvel superhero franchise pick, or where everything has to be a sequel, prequel, reboot, remake, redo, just anything that that doesn't include the word original in it.
They're new originals.
Yeah, that's... Like,
watch Spinal Tap. It's new originals.
No, that's a good point. But yes, hopefully we will actually get into that next month due to some scheduling conflicts and other issues. Did not get to do the research that I had planned. So instead, we are kind of hitting on something that is still appropriate for the discussion. And I'm kind of curious to get your opinion, because as I mentioned last time you were on the show, we discussed The Last Jedi. Now we're going to be discussing Solo, which in my book is 100 times better than The Last Jedi, but is doing considerably worse at the box office.
Well, The Last Jedi is the first $1.3+ billion failure of all time. So that aside, we had our battle on that. Solo is a very conventional Star Wars movie, and it's very disappointing to see that it was assassinated before it came out. A lot of negative news about it. A lot of it was earned and leaked out. But I know we're both old school Star Wars fans, and we can talk about the movie, you know, whenever you want. But to see it underperforming, not a surprise internationally, because a lot of people don't care that much, especially in China, where it really needed to perform, where those movies don't perform very well. But domestically, I think it's made a couple hundred million. But internationally, it's doing so poorly, it's losing money. And a lot of this has to do with the stuff that was said about it before it came out, which is very, very odd and something we'll get into.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll touch on that in a minute, because as I teased at the beginning of this segment, you know, this is not something new. Bad press, leaking, breaking a movie. You know, you had, back in the 70s, you had Heaven's Gate, Michael Cimino's follow-up to The Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
And you said you have not seen Heaven's Gate?
I don't think I have. My mom, it's like one of my mom's favorite movies. Okay. So I think I'm going to have to watch it now.
I saw the, I think the director's cut a few years ago at the Egyptian Theater here in Hollywood. And it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. It's a long movie that is very bloated. But it was also the behind the scenes with Michael Cimino just basically having a God complex, it seems like, where he would not do anything other than his vision for this film and spent a lot of money and ended up, I believe it was United Artists that went under because the movie failed at the box office after it came out.
Yeah, big time failure.
And then you have Waterworld, which had tons of bad press coming out of it, and supposedly, I'm trying to remember, the director, I can't remember if he quit or if he and Kevin Costner just stopped talking to each other during production or post-production, like, it ruined friendships, I believe. And again, it didn't do, it did okay, but not what they were expecting it to do.
I saw that movie twice in the movie theater. So that tells you what I thought about it. It was not, it was entertaining at the time. Like a on water road warrior.
Yes.
But much more entertaining and amazing sets than people gave it credit for. It's not a good movie. When I know we're here, not here to talk about Waterworld. But that movie was described as one of the worst movies of all time. It's not one of the worst movies of all time.
And it's a movie that, yeah, it depends on what you are looking for in a film. Is it just summer entertainment? Then it probably works. Is it highbrow art? Probably not.
Yeah, when you go into Waterworld, you can tell by the term, I mean the title of the movie, what you're getting. Yeah. It's like the trailer was very broad. It's escapism. There's nothing deep about it. It's not a, again, not a very good movie, but I don't see how it's a failure. Like, considering what the trailer showed you, like, the trailer shows you what the movie's about. Now, if it seems ridiculous or uninteresting, I would say don't go, which is something that will open up in the other movies that we'll talk about, too, that failed in many different ways.
Yeah, I'm looking up real quick, or not, depending on how fast my computer wants to actually...
I think Waterworld had these hideous, like, production setbacks and budget setbacks.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what is, no pun intended, tanking Solo. So, like, that same type of conversation about, oh, this thing is a disaster, it's falling apart, it makes people feel uneasy... So people, I guess, are very plugged into that, really think that affects the quality of the movie. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they stay away from it, or maybe they're going to just rent it later.
Right.
Which I think is a fair thing to do.
I was going to say, real quick, Waterworld had a production budget of $175 million and grossed $88.
Yeah.
So
I remember it being $200 and it was just spiraling.
Yeah, and I think the constraint of working out in... with the water sets.
It was all of it.
Yeah, it was.
They had tons of problems with that.
And I remember reading that when James Cameron was shooting Titanic, he asked the director of Waterworld for advice on shooting in the water. And the director was just like, yeah, you'll find out. Like, it was not.
Which you could have learned from watching Spielberg talk about
Jaws.
Shooting, you know, on water instead of shooting in a set.
Yes.
With water.
And we'll talk about that next month when we discuss blockbusters. But
we'll bank that.
But even Titanic... spiraled out of control with the budget, a lot of issues, missed its summer release date, got pushed back to December.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of bad press came out about that, and then...
Oh, that was the same thing, yeah. There's a lot of panic, and Cameron bet his whole career on it. Yeah. I think that, and then he made so much money on that, they gave him Avatar, and then they said he was betting his career on that, because they spent... I think $500 million with the technology.
Probably, yeah. With the time for research.
So Fox was like, basically, what are you doing, Fox? Anyways, doing this all over again. So this is that same type of thing that you read about. It used to be insider info, and now it's mainstream. Yeah. Get worried, you know, get worried, guys. This is a problem.
And I think that's the crux of what we're discussing today is you look at Solo, and this is a movie that, you know, since Disney launched the Star Wars franchise. They've done two...
Skywalker movies.
Trilogy films, and then two standalones.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogue One, while everyone seems to enjoy it, as I've said, it's a fine movie. I just found it very unnecessary. And I think going into Solo, it's another movie that, on paper, I question, did we need Solo?
Mm.
Did I need to know about Han before... meeting him at Mos Eisley. Personally, I didn't think I did. And I was very skeptical of the movie until I saw the first trailer. And I was like, okay, you're kind of winning me over here. And ended up going and seeing it opening night. And to me right now, it is the best Disney Star Wars film. I was completely amazed at how much I enjoyed the entire film. I thought all the acting was good. I thought it felt... like the first real Star Wars film from Disney, even though there are no Jedis and no lightsabers and no Darth Vader, and you know, it just captured the essence of that universe for me.
It was definitely a throwback with all of its callbacks to the old series. So it was very conventional. It was set up like a Western, like a heist movie. It was written by Lawrence Kasdan, who had written other Star Wars projects. So... I think this was a restoration of kind of the way they used to make the Star Wars movies. It was longer shots. It was paced very deliberately. It didn't jump all over. Like, Last Jedi, for all the things I like about it, it jumped all over the place. It's like they took the characters, they kept adding, and experimenting. Solo's not a movie that really experiments a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It goes back to, like, this is Solo, then here's Chewbacca, then here's Lando, let's go. Let's hit hyperspace and let's tell a story. Mm-hmm. And that way it's a very linear, crowd-pleasing, which even makes its underperformance more shocking and more disappointing. But I agree with you. I don't know if I'd call it the most enjoyable because The Last Jedi was so fresh for me, and I know you didn't like it. But Solo, better than Rogue One for sure, and better than Force Awakens. So that's number two in the four, for sure. And it really... And echoing what you're saying, like, I was like, this guy cannot be Harrison Ford. He didn't try to pull that off. I was like, do we really need a backstory to this? And I was like, oh, the backstory was done well.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of depth, and I read some really good essays online about if you watch other Star Wars movies that come after, obviously this is him at his youngest, it reframes him as a character and makes him even sadder and more tragic. So by the time we reach Force Awakens, it's like, look what he went through. Look how idealistic he was. Look at how much in love he was. Spoilers to the apparently everyone that hasn't seen Solo. But I found the movie very romantic, very entertaining, very well shot, very well directed. So disappointed that it's not doing well.
Yeah. And part of that... Okay, there are three frames of thought that I have for why it's not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
One is Star Wars fatigue, which we just got Last Jedi 5 months ago.
Don't get me started on that. We'll have to bank that and talk about that.
Okay.
Because that is the most annoying term. I've heard the same thing about superhero fatigue, and we can save that too. But that is a very annoying term for me as a fan.
Okay. Good. I mean, your opinion. So... Star Wars, coming on the heels of Last Jedi, and then you have the reports of, Miller and Lord, the original directors, being fired. Ron Howard coming on, who, as much as I enjoy Ron Howard, and he is a huge, Hollywood director, what was the last Ron Howard movie that people were actually excited about seeing?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would
have to. I own a few of his movies. Like, I think Apollo 13 is amazing. The Russell Crowe movie, I can't remember where he's the math wizard.
Beautiful Mind.
That one won a bunch of awards.
It won the Oscar.
But I was never really excited about some of those things.
Yeah.
So he was making the Tom Hanks movie.
The Dan Brown.
Those ones grossed quite a bit of money until the most recent one.
Yeah, and I think because you were basing them on, or they were based on successful books, so.
But he was hitting big home runs with that series up until recently.
Yeah, and I think even at the book series, Da Vinci Code was really good, and then the last one, I could get sold well. I don't think the last one sold as well.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of a, and I'm basing this on only what I osmosedly, which is not a word, consume in media of, you don't hear as much about Dan Brown now as you did when Da Vinci Code came out. Mm-hmm. So it could be the same thing where the book series just fell off, and so the movies were made just to complete the trilogy instead of actually people wanting them made.
Yeah, it didn't get me going.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them.
Books are much better because they're more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
This is most of the time that's the case. And then you also have the star whose name I still cannot remember, cannot pronounce. I always want to call him Anton Yelchin.
Of Solo?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to butcher his last name. Alden Ehrenreich? I don't know.
Okay, somebody I didn't know. And there were the reports that they had to bring on an acting coach for him during the shoot. Which, of course, in my cynical mind is, how do you cast somebody in a big budget film and then not have them be able to act?
Yeah, that was very, very weird when I didn't like the trailer. You said you liked the trailer. I thought the trailer was terrible.
Yeah, I remember talking to you before Solo came out and saying, like, oh, I'm excited for this. And you, especially given our Last Jedi reviews, I was kind of surprised that, and you weren't the only one. I have other friends who really like Last Jedi who just were not looking forward to Solo. But, everyone that I know that has seen it has said how good it, how surprised they were at how good it was.
Yeah, we could talk about that too, about the word of mouth of that movie is really strong, but it's apparently a very small group of word of mouth at this point.
And I mean, real quick, I wonder, in this day and age, with the word of mouth, with a new huge movie coming out weekly, instead of getting that build-up for a film like, I'm trying to think of one that, in the past would have come out, the only one that's coming to mind is like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which had a small opening but good word of mouth and kept it and propelled it into a bigger film than it would have been. Whereas now you're like, well, this is going to be on Netflix in 6 months. I'll just wait and watch it there. Or it's going to be on DVD or at Redbox in 3. I don't need to rush out and see it.
Yeah, I think what's happening is people are relying a lot on the internet to kind of sway them into water cooler moments. So it's like, if you hear Get Out, and I was victim of this with Get Out, like, I didn't care for the trailer, and I wasn't that interested in seeing it. And then everyone told me how great it was, and I'm like, I'm going to go see this movie. And then it became kind of a phenomenon. It just made so much money. And that kind of just sucked me into it. And then there's other movies where they just kind of come and go, and you wonder, why is no one talking about these? And you rent them, and they're amazing. I think what's happening is entertainment is parsed so many ways now, mm-hmm. where, like, when we grew up, it was like there was three network channels, and then me and my brother would see a movie poster, and we're like, we're there. So anytime Spielberg's name's on something, we're there. Anytime there's a creature or something, we're there. I've never lost that. So, like, that magic, that being interested in a movie just on the concept of the movie or an image is enough for me to go. But apparently people need to do a lot of research because they're binging on Netflix. They're watching sports on cable. They're on Facebook. They're at work. It's like it's all being divided up, and they only have so much they can do. So they're literally going, I can see one movie this month, if that, because it's going to come on, like you say, rental anyway. But, and we could talk about this too, like with Solo and these Star Wars movies, these Marvel movies are events. So you're kind of forgetting you get to have dinner with your friends. You get to maybe enjoy a cocktail. You get to talk about the movie before. After, you get to see the props from the movie. You get to dissect it. That doesn't happen when you're on the couch at home by yourself. So what's kind of disappointing to me is I know movie theaters are doing poorly, and the numbers keep going down, and 3D is kind of dying as well. So people are kind of realizing, if I have a big screen TV, I'm not going to go out. So movies are kind of dying anyway as far as going out. And to me, that's disappointing. So it almost seems like people are looking for reasons to not see movies nowadays. And they use the internet as like, well, I researched this movie. And Rotten Tomatoes says it's good. Rotten Tomatoes says it's bad. I went to Box Office Mojo. The movie's making a ton of money. And then people will go to see it because everyone else is seeing it. And it's making a lot of money. That doesn't mean it's a good movie. You know, Transformers, I think, have made over a billion each, but I'm not inclined to see any of those movies. And I don't have to read on the internet for a reason, you know, not to see those.
And I had this discussion a few years ago with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned when we were growing up, I think, one, you had less blockbuster-type films where, mm-hmm. you know, I remember movies playing for months on end, whereas, as we just said, now a movie will come and go within a month. Or, you know, it might hang on just
3 weeks.
You know, playing late, but no one's going to see it. It's just mm-hmm. taking up space. Because now movies open up on so many screens to where everybody can see it the first weekend instead of going to, you know, a month of sold-out shows. And the other factor is, you know, during our childhood, during the 80s, you had Siskel and Ebert, who were the review gods.
Rest in peace.
Which, I know there was also Gene Shalit on the Today Show and a PBS show called Sneak Previews with Jeffrey Lyons and Michael Medved, which is a little lesser known. But you had Siskel and Ebert, and they gave their opinion, which people put stock into.
I did. Me and my brother watched those shows every single week.
But now you have... Show. Like you said, you have Rotten Tomatoes where you can see hundreds of reviews, from some from legitimate critics, others from just moving-going audience.
Who are these people? Do you know any of these people?
No. That's what I'm saying is...
What makes them more qualified to tell you whether or not you're going to like Solo? 29% of those people, which is, what, almost a third, didn't like the movie. They're crazy. It's totally successful at what it's trying to do. So, therefore, that whole aggregate is worthless. It's not... It's an easy movie to recommend to kids, Star Wars fans, people looking to escape, people like sci-fi, people like westerns, people like adventure. So who gives a crap about these people? I don't know who they are. They're not Siskel and Ebert. They're not these giant old school guys. Who are these guys? People behind their keyboard that went to film school for 4 years? I mean, that means nothing to me as a fan.
And that's where I'm going, where you have people who do apparently look at Rotten Tomatoes, because I've heard that excuse thrown out for a lot of films not doing well. Or Rotten Tomatoes will, I believe they're owned by Warner Brothers. So like when Justice League came out, they kept the reviews off Rotten Tomatoes for a while.
Yeah, they tried to stall on that one.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't understand why you would go, because I am not a review person. I don't read reviews. And if I look at a movie and base my opinion on a trailer, on a poster, on subject matter, as to, am I interested in this? Am I not? And I know, 40 years of watching films, what I like and what I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if a film doesn't look like it's going to be good, then I'll save my money. And if it does look like it's going to be interesting, I'll go watch it and form my own opinion. It's with, I mean, with Solo, I was different because of not liking Last Jedi so much. I didn't avoid trailers. But now for any Star Wars film, any Marvel movie, anything that I know that I'm going to want to see, I try to go in blind without reading plot synopsis, spoilers, seeing any information. And I think you just said, it's like, why do we trust other people to tell us what we're going to like?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't go to a bookstore and say, well, I went on the internet and these people love this book, so I'm going to buy this book exclusively. I mean, it might point you to that book, but there might be some other subject matter you might be interested in that may not have a lot of reviews. And that's the way going to cinema. If you're a lover of movies, you just kind of go to the movies. I don't know. This isn't a research project. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was growing up, you go to a record store and you... I'm really dating myself here. And you, we get a stack of records, you put them on, you listen to them. And entire records, we listen to CDs too. And we go, oh, this hip-hop record is good. This DJ Shadow, who's this guy? But if I had to go around and go, you know what? I need you guys to all agree on what I should be listening to. Otherwise, I'm not wasting my time listening to it. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something behind... There's something dubious behind destroying something before you've experienced it. So, like, say you bought a ticket to Bruce Springsteen and someone's, like, telling you, I would never see Bruce Springsteen. 10 of my friends said he's awful in concert. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to not go? Are you going to get a refund? Are you never going to... If you didn't buy a ticket, are you never going to see him again? I mean, this is... Even with close friends, I'd be like, well, I might want to check it out. Mm-hmm. But I think... With social media, there has to be this huge thing about agreement and disagreement. It's very polar. It's like, does everyone like something or does everyone dislike something? And they're making controversy over that. So Rotten Tomatoes and Collider and Ain't It Cool News is profiting off of creating, you know, clicks on articles saying Solo's falling apart or Disney has a fan base against it. And I do think... One thing I'm not sure you mentioned was Solo. One thing that really hurt it, and researching a little bit about box office failures in the past on really good movies, is if it's sandwiched or in a time frame where other movies are out, it really destroys it. It has to be a really strong brand, which Star Wars you think would be. But Solo was kind of negative as far as going into it for some people, a lot of people. So with Infinity War and Deadpool 2 coming out, I think Solo got lost. It was bad timing as well. But it is feeling the backlash from The Last Jedi, no doubt about it. I mean, I was on these two gigantic Star Wars forums, and people were like, F Disney, they're terrible, they're politicizing the movies, social justice warriors, bashing women, bashing you know, any of the characters they didn't like in it, and thinking they had a political agenda, which we can debate about. But they're saying, well, I'm going to make them pay the next one. I'm boycotting. People are literally saying, I'm boycotting Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's dead to me. That's what affected Solo. I mean, people are bailing on the brand, at least temporarily, and they're making Solo pay for it, which is disappointing.
It's disappointing, but I can get behind that idea because for me personally,
I can't.
I stopped going to see Marvel movies because I got worn out of seeing essentially to me the same, with the exception of the Captain America movies, which I think changed up enough. Mm. Most of the Marvel movies were the same thing over and over and just building up to this Thanos character in, you know, taking 25 films to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, okay, I get it. Just give me Thanos. I don't need all these other movies. So I was like, okay, I didn't see Guardians 2, Thor, Ragnarok, eventually broke down and saw Black Panther before Infinity War at the theater. But I was just like, okay, I don't want to spend my money on that.
But you weren't boycotting. You were making a choice saying, I'm not being entertained during this long run of Marvel movies. Like, it's not doing it for me. Mm. That's totally fair.
Okay.
When I'm with Solo, you're a Star Wars fan, and I don't know how many you think have hit and how many you think have missed, but did you think The Force Awakens was okay?
I thought it was a fine remake of New Hope and launching a new character, a new story, and it made me interested for episodes 8 and 9.
So it didn't destroy 2 hours of your life?
No.
Or in some people's cases, destroy their childhood, like The Last Jedi? So And Rogue One, you thought it was an okay two hours of
your life? It was a fine movie. I just found it very unnecessary. I didn't need that to add to the Star Wars.
So you're legacy. you're not invoking a boycott because you're generally thinking it's good enough. It's not what I want. Last Jedi was disappointing. And then you gave Solo a chance.
Yeah.
Because you're closer to that material, whereas Marvel, I don't think you grew up loving Marvel as much as I love Marvel. Totally fair. But you didn't boycott Marvel. You just were not that into Marvel.
I wasn't into it.
People are boycotting Solo. Yeah, that is a big problem.
And I wouldn't say to you, you know, these Marvel movies are all the same. You shouldn't go see them. Don't, you know, they're terrible. Make them, if we stop going to see them, they will change their marketing or their storytelling. And they should make the movie that I want to see. No, I'm not a fan of most boycotts. So if people want to do, you know, see a movie, fine, go see it. It may not be my taste. I'm not going to tell you what to go. Again, I'm not going to tell you what to see or not to see. I will make a recommendation and say, oh, I really like this film. If you think you might like it, check it out. But
well, let me ask you straight up. Would you, if someone was asking you, would you recommend that I see The Last Jedi?
No.
And you didn't care for it. But you're saying no. You literally would tell somebody who has not seen a movie not to see the movie.
I would ask them.
Who knows? They might really like it.
And I would say,
give them a chance.
I would say, you know, if it's in the example of Last Jedi, I'd be like, have you seen the rest of the Star Wars film? Are you familiar with the series?
That's fair.
Here's what I didn't like about it. And I would not go into detail. I would just say, I didn't like the humor. I thought the plot was weak. I didn't like the ending. You know, I felt it ruined or it killed the story that was being told. Like, there was no purpose. However, I am interested in episode 9 because I want to see how they're going to salvage the story.
Will you see episode 9?
Oh, yeah, I'll see episode 9.
So by that very argument, you'd have to recommend it because you're talking about a cultural linchpin moment. So it's an easy movie to recommend. What's a hard movie to recommend is something like Justice League. And I know this is where I'm kind of contradicting myself a little bit because Justice League undoes a lot of what I like about DC superheroes. And you think The Last Jedi has an undoing of some of the Star Wars stuff that you used to like.
So no, I find...
Or maybe I'm speaking for you.
I found Last Jedi to contradict what was being set up in Force Awakens, and I don't see where they're going with Episode 9.
Okay, so I guess what argument I'm trying to make is that when you recommend a movie to somebody, it's not... For me, it's not whether or not you personally liked it. That helps in the recommendation, obviously. I love this movie. You got to go see it. That's a strong recommendation. However, when someone says, should I see The Last Jedi? I've had a lot of people ask me about Solo. I say, every time, absolutely. And they're saying, why? Because it's 2 hours a year. This goes back to the Star Wars fatigue thing, which is probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Now, Star Wars fatigue sets in with the marketing on the commercials, the toys, the web stuff. Those are like pop-up windows you can close. It's not really that fatiguing. If people think it's tough to turn the channel or something, you know, that's not like working on a farm. It's not that tough. So 2 hours a year, we get one Star Wars movie. Is one Star Wars movie 2 hours a year that fatiguing? You know what's fatiguing? When someone recommends a television show on Netflix or like, hey, you haven't seen Game of Thrones before? You should definitely check that out. And then I realize I have 130 hours ahead of me. Hey, you should check out Westworld. I have 13 more hours ahead of me. That's six Star Wars movies. You know what's fatiguing? Binge watching, that's another podcast. How annoying that can be. It's just constantly glued to your television. Star Wars are events, they're social things. So the whole fatigue thing, I don't understand. But going back to recommending, how could you not recommend a Star Wars movie? It's good for kids. It's something that everyone's going to talk about. There's going to be cool stuff to look at, cool creatures. It could be kind of a bad movie, but it's definitely worth a couple of hours compared to all the other just crap that is on TV, Netflix, and other movies. Like, name me a movie like Star Wars that's out that's you would recommend higher than Star Wars. Like, another sci-fi extravaganza. Go back years and tell me what other franchises produced any kind of memorable mythos. They don't exist. Are you going to name me Avatar? Are you going to name me Interstellar? Are you going to name me... I know it's not in the same genre, but those movies don't exist.
Yeah.
So this is a unique thing. And I think, yes, recommend it. It's worth watching.
And I would say that's where my non-recommendation for Last Jedi comes, is because it takes that Star Wars mythos and I found it a little insulting to the Star Wars mythos. It was like, you know, like almost like Rian Johnson is a Star Trek fan who was pissed off at Star Wars for being more successful, and he's like, I'm going to get my hands on it and ruin it. Anyway, back to Solo.
Okay, well, we'll put that to bed. We talked about that. Yeah. We want to.
I have a hard time recommending a movie that I don't know, that a movie that I know I will never sit through again. So taking that 2 hours of time, like you said, it's only 2 hours. It's not that
big. 2 hours a year.
2 hours a year.
But you wouldn't recommend that to a little kid who came up to you and said, hey, Uncle Chad, should I watch Star Wars Last Jedi? You're going to turn to the kid and say, I would not watch that movie if I were you.
Again, really? Depending on the person, depending on the situation, but there is so much other things to recommend that they could do for that 2 hours.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to disagree on that one.
But we'll circle back around, I'm sure, because there are points that I wanted to make. Speaking of Star Wars, it has been around for 40 years. It is the quintessential franchise from our childhood.
Absolutely.
Is it as relevant to a new generation as it was to us? Is it... This is where I think more of the issue lies, in that Star Wars, while we like it, it's not as poignant in today's society. Like, it's just, it's got its niche audience, which is everybody from the age of 30 to 55, maybe, let's say. Anybody outside that range has their own, they've got, you know, teenagers today, young kids, they've got the Marvel franchise. People that grew up in the early 2000s have the X-Men. You know, is it just a series that doesn't... And because every film is a giant CG spectacular, what in Star Wars separates it from everything else, the way the first Star Wars and Empire separated themselves from the movies that were coming out at that time?
Well, it's a great question. I think if you look at it in context that... Going back to when we grew up, entertainment was much more singular. Mm-hmm. So if you had a Spielberg or Lucas, those movies tended to be bigger and there wasn't a lot of competition. There is more competition. Obviously, Disney has brought competition with Marvel being a rival. And it's kind of ironic that Infinity War might have crushed Solo in some way. And they're both under the same tent. I think much like most entertainment, there's no singular piece of entertainment that is dominating. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to probably go back to Harry Potter. To where it was like everyone's talking about it, every kid had seen it. That was really cool for me. I wasn't totally into it, but I liked that we had gone back to this thing where it's like, oh, something's sweeping around the consciousness. And I go to a lot of conventions, they've all exploded. It's all anecdotal in terms of what I'm seeing with my own eyes, but what I do see at the conventions and at the movie theaters is a lot of little kids dressed up, a lot of little kids know the mythology. And I think that's going to spawn a bunch of new fans. Now, if Disney keeps hitting, you know, singles where they should be hitting home runs, mm-hmm. or they have setbacks, and I think Disney's going to take a step back after Solo and go, maybe we should make one every 2 years, or make one and focus test the heck out of it. Because they probably didn't focus test The Last Jedi very much. It appears like he took a bunch of chances, and a lot of people were like, what is he doing? But to answer your question, I think... Because entertainment's sliced up so many times nowadays, it isn't a singular type of phenomenon, and it can't be. Nothing can be, you know. I was looking at Donald Glover's This Is America video. I was like, 235 million views in a month maybe? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that hasn't happened in a while, where one thing was like, everyone liked it or everyone thought it was interesting. Star Wars isn't in that category right now, which is a little disappointing. But The Last Jedi sure got a lot of people to see it. It's, again, I think you're saying the new movies have, you know, maybe not captured that. But I think those two of the four newest movies are top 10 all-time box office. Last Jedi and Force Awakens is over $2 billion.
Yeah, but that's also, you factor in inflation, you ticket sales. Like, every movie, and we'll talk about that when we start talking about blockbusters and mm-hmm. the future installments. But yeah, you look at the top 10 or the top 50 movies of all time right now, unadjusted for inflation, there's only, I think, two or three that are more than 20 years old.
Yeah, but these movies aren't very old. So what I'm saying is that whenever you make over $1 billion, That's a big deal. It's not just people going, I don't really care about Star Wars. I'm going to see what this is about. So you're asking about how much of a phenomenon it may be or how much it's capturing people. When Force Awakens is at 2 plus billion and Last Jedi is at 1.3, 1.4, that can't be viewed as a failure. That is a massive hit. Solo is a failure.
Solo is a failure.
Rogue One even made a bunch of money. 500-600 million, whatever it was, for a bunch of people you've never heard of before, all dying, you know, to capture plans. It still approached $1 billion. So Solo is this very interesting anomaly in that. So I think it's doing quite well. But Solo, I think, is going to make Disney rethink how they maybe rush these movies out and how they replace directors. And maybe they're making them too quickly.
I mean, I think that is a fair point. But I also want to throw in that Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland also made over $1 billion. But I don't know anybody that talks about that movie.
Yeah, that one will... We could have four podcasts on that. I saw that movie, and it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Willy Wonka, or whatever Wonka movie he made, being another one.
But I'm just saying...
Transformers make over $1 billion. I don't quite... I mean, I do understand it. If you can get teenage boys to bring teenage girls or other teenage boys to a movie multiple times as the Titanic effect, which James Cameron kind of pioneers, make a good movie. I thought it was a good movie. But then get teenagers to keep going endlessly and seeing versions of themselves on the screen being the hero is a huge deal. Now, with Solo and Star Wars, they're not teenagers in the movie. So you are relying on a younger audience to go and wanting to see it more than once. And maybe they're not capturing that as many times.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say if and I am by no means an expert, I've not studied it, but I would, two things that I would chalk up to Solo's underperformance is no one's asking for the origin story, and the fact that it's such an iconic character, whereas if they had gone, to me, if they want to do these standalone films, I want to see supporting characters. I don't want, you know, they just announced they're going to do a Boba Fett movie.
Oh, yeah, with James Mangold.
Which, I mean, granted, after the prequels, if you want to try to salvage the Boba Fett character from being a young kid, yes, maybe try that. But, you know, they've also talked about doing an Obi-Wan series, a Yoda series. Like, I don't need those character backstories. Give me, in Solo, they mention Bosk. You know, I would love to see a Bounty Hunters movie. Kind of like, you know, kind of let Tarantino do a Bounty Hunter movie. I think that would be, or Robert Rodriguez, I think, could do that well. Or give me some outliers, you know. Go back to Mos Eisley, show me the guy that was sitting at the end of the bar, and tell me his story and tie it. It's, I think when you take the iconic characters, which are portrayed by iconic actors like Harrison Ford, you're going to get a backlash no matter how good or how bad the movie is.
No, absolutely. And I think, I still have to go back to, I think that The Last Jedi really angered the base, and I think that they made Disney pay for it. I really, all I heard was that we were boycotting this film. But I do think people aren't worked up about an actor they haven't heard of before playing Harrison Ford's character. That is a big problem. Who the heck is Alden? No one knows who he is.
Well, and you had the same thing when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker.
I hated it. I could not have happily been more wrong.
And my question is, why hate on something you haven't seen, which I think is the...
Well, I think with that movie, that's a great question. That movie is what kind of planted the seeds for this lesson that I learned, is that I read about it, people were laughing at it and criticizing it, because he did Knight's Tale and whatever else, and he was kind of like the Hollywood It Boy. And I'm like, how could they possibly pick this guy with a blonde perm from Australia to be the Joker? Like, no way did it ever add up to anything I've read, what I envisioned, what Jack Nicholson did, even though I wasn't a big fan of that either, even though I like him. And I could not have been more wrong, because those guys had it figured out. It was up for me just to open my mind and see it, which I did. I saw it opening night, and it's still probably the second or third best movie experience of my life. And his performance is arguably one of the best. I mean, he won Supporting Actor after he died. He's the guy that dropped this big anchor and said, superhero movies can be serious. And I'm just trying to think of a superhero movie where anyone won an Oscar at all. for any acting. I think he's the only one.
And I'm going to say cynically that had he not died, I doubt he even would have been nominated. And that's not to take away from his performance. That's to be more cynical about the Hollywood award process.
No, there could be some truth to that. It's hard to quantify that, but there was a lot of him being so well-liked and loved, and he was really getting big projects planned for him. So I think when he died, it hyped up the movie. But Batman Begins was an awesome movie for a comic book fan and a mainstream audiences. A little odd that movie even got made. It's so weird in the comic bookie. But then The Dark Knight was a very simple mainstream movie where even Christian Bale wasn't even that good in the movie. I don't think he was even a great Batman. But like Heath Ledger was so electric. I do think his death contributed to it, but his performance, it seemed like people were talking about it. And I remember being in the movie theater at Westwood, and everybody was like kind of buzzing. People were stomping a little bit before the movie came out with their feet. It was a really weird vibe. And it came out, I was like, wow, that just really grounded movies in the genre. And now everyone could take them a little bit seriously, along with Iron Man and other stuff. But I forget what we were talking about.
Heath Ledger.
I got kind of caught in like thinking about how good he was in that movie.
Talking about Heath Ledger having fan backlash when he was announced. Same way.
Sorry, mic malfunction.
Same way, I believe, you know, even Michael Keaton was disparaged when he was cast as Batman.
That was something else I was unhappy about. And then watching it, I was like, he was pretty good in that. I mean, he's totally not, to this day, he's totally not Batman or Bruce Wayne at all. But he was a really interesting choice. And I'm still, that Batman movie gets a lot of accolades. It's to me, it's too cartoonish to take seriously. And it was a step in the wrong direction. But because it went so mainstream and so popular, it still spurred movies after it. So I owe it a bit of a debt. But it still was kind of a cartoony thing. Keaton was a very interesting choice. But this is to your point that you think going into it, this is going to be a disaster because you're told it could be a disaster, and then it's not. So it's about setting your expectations going into a movie, and thanks to all the internet, our expectations are shattered before we even go in now.
So that's where, I want to segue this into, is with the internet, with the voice that has given people, where, you can say Heath Ledger, guy that plays Solo, that I'm sorry that we don't know his name, and guess this film is really not helping his career.
I know it's Alden.
Aldrin Ulrich or something like that. But where, because the internet is so full of knee-jerk reaction, to where when news breaks...
Or jerk reaction.
Yeah. It's... No one takes the time to see, to make an informed decision. It's, oh, well, I have this preconceived opinion. I don't like this guy, or I don't think this is a perfect fit. So instead of waiting to see how they do or what story they even tell, I'm just going to hate on it and I'm going to let everybody know. Whereas, as I've asked many times on this show, why the need for constant hate on the internet, on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook? Why not say, you know what? This casting choice confuses me. I would never have chosen him based on what I know, which again, I think most fans base opinions on the actor's other work. You don't see the casting tape. You don't know what, before Dark Knight came out, you didn't know what Heath Ledger was doing with the Joker character. If you said, like you mentioned, he's in A Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You, very different from what he did with the Joker. So instead of waiting and seeing and saying, like, okay, I don't understand it, but I want to give it an open mind to say, surprise me. It's constantly just, no, this is terrible. This is terrible. I hate this. F Hollywood, F this. And I don't understand that process.
Well, I think the internet is a gossip culture. So there's a celebrity in gossip culture, which really intrigues people. So maybe people, like I've always said this, the media makes money building people up or tearing them down. So there'll be some it boy that is in a movie and it's like, this is the best thing ever made. And then like, hey, they can't talk about a movie that's let's wait and see what it is. Like, these websites collapse if they go, let's just let the marketing of the movie, the posters, the trailers, what is the website there for? The website's there to comment, and their commentary is predictably usually worthless.
Yeah, and going back to our youth, you know, you had Premiere Magazine, you had Fangoria, the horror stuff, mm-hmm. and even, I guess, Rolling Stone and Starlog and a couple others, but you would usually get a story, like, when a movie was announced or when it started production, just to be like, oh, this is going on. And then as the movie got closer to release, you would get more story promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
And those were monthly. Now you have 24/7 internet coverage or even 24-hour entertainment news coverage where there has to be a story every second.
And who's leaking? Who's leaking? Who said that Alden got an acting coach? Mm-hmm. Now, human beings are a little gossipy in nature, so when I read that, I was like, oh my God, this is such a bad sign. But now I'm thinking, I wish I never would have read that. I wish I never, that would have never fallen into my feed on Rotten Tomatoes, where I think is where I read it. It's like, who involved in Disney, like, broke the gag order and said, Alden's having trouble? Mm-hmm. Now, they had a release that they had fired the directors. That would have been pretty weird for them not to say that. But you kind of wish they didn't say anything at all, or these people would not be leaking at all. Mm-hmm. Because it really hurts the hundreds of people that worked on the film. And me and you both enjoyed it, so it turned out to be not what we feared it might have been, or other people feared. But now people are staying away from it, and there's still a cloud hanging over it, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So I've had to defend this movie endlessly. People were making fun of me for even going to see it. I saw it 4 times.
Wow.
So I enjoyed the thrill ride and all that, and I was trying to explain it to people. And it is kind of strange that this gossipy nature is something that people revel in. I read about the problems with Justice League, for example, and the problems that the director was having personally, and he was removed off the movie, and no one knows it was halfway through or all the way through, and I think Josh Whedon, like, shot a Wonder Woman scene. Did you see Justice League?
I did, and I actually enjoyed Justice League.
Oh, wow. What did you enjoy about it?
I felt it was a, I don't know, I watched it at home. I did not see it in the theater. The fact that I actually got about 90 minutes into it before I started doing other things, which never happens when I watch movies at home. I'm usually on the internet or reading by the time the opening credits are over. So I like the fact that I didn't get a full-on origin movie for Aquaman, Cyborg, and Flash. And I don't even know why they went with the different Flash other than the TV Flash.
I'm not sure.
And I know we're getting an Aquaman movie. But it just dropped you into the story. I don't think I think the villain was a little weak, as most comic book villains are. But the movie, I thought, worked fine. But yeah, you could definitely tell there was some choppiness into, I think you could tell the tonal difference between Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder. And I am not a Zack Snyder fan. Like, I found Man of Steel and Batman v Superman to be bad films creatively.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Justice League surprised me. And maybe it was because I'd heard so much negative about Justice League that when I found it mildly entertaining, it scored higher on my recommendation list.
Yeah, what kind of brings us to our central discussion is the internet or social media, these aggregate websites, are they helping these movies at all? I mean, Infinity War is a good movie. I really liked it. I don't think it needed a lot of critics love Marvel. So audiences love Marvel, critics love Marvel. So it's a big joy fest. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to other things, they tend to control anything that's marginal, that's not Marvel, they tend to kind of control the fate of. Mm-hmm. And that 2-week window that's critical for the movie doing well. The only time I really like a website is if it illuminates a movie that no one's heard of, or from some filmmaker or something, you're like, you got to see this. I don't see a lot of that going on. They keep talking. If I go to Collider, they talk about the next Deadpool movie. They talk about Jurassic World, which I couldn't stand. They talk about the next Marvel movie, hardly needs promotion. The next Star Wars movie, everyone's going to go see it anyway, most likely. So these guys are just, I don't know, almost hanging on to, like, this low-hanging fruit, wanting people to click on it and go, oh, what's the next thing? What's the next thing that I should see? And I think lost are the days of naive optimism that me and you used to have, right, and my brother, where we used to go, we're going to the movies on Saturday, and we're going to look at the marquee, and we're going to go to that movie, and we're going to just have fun together, and if the movie's good, it's a bonus. Now it's like, it's some kind of research session. I don't know when that crept in. I'm sure there's a date and year for it. I'm just proud that I'm not part of that generation that does research before they have an experience.
Yeah,
I will never be part of that group. I don't want to be part of that group.
I mean, I question the Hollywood films that, because every movie that comes out now, especially between March and early September, will be a $100 to $200 million budgeted film.
Mm-hmm.
And it will have a ton of promotion and tie-in, and but it'll be franchise pieces that you are familiar with already. So it doesn't need the promotion that it gets. Meanwhile, there will be a movie, and I can't even think of a movie coming out that is low budget. I guess you could go with Hereditary, which just opened this weekend, which is the latest horror film.
That looks pretty good.
But these low budget films that don't get any promotion and no one knows about, and no one's taken the chance on them because in my reasoning, it's with the price of movie tickets these days, it's like, I don't want to go and spend $16 or $20 on a film that I don't know anything about. And so I don't know if I'm going to enjoy, but I know that if I go see the Marvel movie, the Star Wars movie, the Jurassic Park movie, the Incredibles, whatever, I know I'm going to enjoy it because I've already seen that movie before.
That's true.
And going to your point about the websites, all these websites are based on ads and clickbait. Mm-hmm. And so what is going to get more viewers to read? Is it going to be the story about Star Wars, Marvel, Jurassic Park, or the movie, the article about the movie that no one knows anything about? It's not to go political, but it's like the way that we elect politicians. Mm-hmm. When you go into a booth, who do you vote for? The guy you know that's been there for 30 years, or the new person who's like, I want to challenge the status quo? I'm like, well, I don't know you, but I know what this person has done. And so you just keep voting for the same thing over and over again. So I think, I blame Hollywood for not having any original ideas that they're willing to promote, but I also blame the audience for constantly going back to the same well.
Yeah.
Instead of promoting the films. And then occasionally you will get a Get Out or I'm trying to think of other movies over the last few years that have been popular.
Blair Witch Project came out of nowhere. Very exciting movie.
Very
original.
Yeah, My Big Fat Greek Wedding that we proposed earlier. But I know for me, I miss the 80s, one, because I just think the 80s were awesome. But it seemed like you had a lot more low to mid-budget films competing at the box office. So you had a bigger share of audience going to them, whereas now everything is, you want to see this movie this week, this movie the next week, and then the third movie the following week.
Yeah, I do think blockbusters get a lot of blame, but there's only a handful of them. So I don't remember the number. It's maybe 400, 500, 600 movies a year, mm-hmm, are released by the studios and beyond. So there's like this tiny percentage of those $200 million. So those are the big chips a studio plays, mm-hmm, the tent poles, to finance mid-range and low-budget movies. And those tend to get all the blame. They're not original. This is Marvel 27, Star Wars 10, whatever it is. I've always felt that was a little bit odd because first of all, you don't have to see those movies. Second of all, there's like even Marvel makes like two a year, maybe three.
Three the last couple
of years. None of those you have to see. You don't have to pay. You actually are not being, no one's reaching in your pocket. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to see those movies. You can ignore them. I feel like people feel left out if they're not seeing those movies and talking about them. But you don't like Marvel movies. If you're not enjoying it, just don't go to Marvel movies. You might call it a boycott. I would say you're not interested in them, whatever. I don't find these movies to be any kind of, they really get under people's skin. I'm not sure why. Like, I don't like Transformers movies. I didn't love the Harry Potter movies. I didn't post on social media, oh my God, here we're getting another Harry Potter. What is the deal with this thing? You know, this is so boring. I'm 47 years old and I don't understand why people, look, Star Wars is aimed at kids. Harry Potter is aimed at kids. It's not up for a 47-year-old like me to pronounce judgment. I don't really want to see Incredibles 2, to be honest with you. I own the first one. I like it. I saw the trailer for the new one. Looked totally annoying to me. But I'm getting off of kids' movies now in that direction. So I think for people to act like it's something they have to research or it's some big labor, just there's hundreds of movies out there. If you don't like feature films at all, you can just go stay on Netflix all day. So people, like the internet tends to do, they attract very passionate people that are like, I don't like this, I don't like this. Then they have to shout at the rafters about how much they don't like it. I happen to shout at the rafters at how much I hated Justice League because I thought they were literally destroying all their key characters. I did feel the need to broadcast that because that was like it for me. And Suicide Squad was also around the same time for me. But I do think the internet is kind of like a complaint zone. So it's hard to take anything being said there, even by myself, very seriously because I'm basically just ranting. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I do miss the days where we just saw movies to get together with our friends, which is going away. And it's disappointing. And I don't think we need to do homework on movies.
I think that's a fair point. Yeah, it's let's just enjoy a film to enjoy a film. And instead, it is becoming, instead of being an escapist form of entertainment, it is a critical, everyone is a film critic now because they have the voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone has an opinion.
And unfortunately, they tend to share them on social media and in podcast. You can't see me. I'm winking at the fourth wall. But I think we've exhausted this topic. It's a good run. Let us know what you think about Solo or negative media, negative press on medias and on films, and how you choose to see the films that you choose to see. Go to the Positive Cynicism Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter at Chad Smart. We will be back with the first installment of our look at the blockbuster phenomenon starting next month. Until then, as always, question everything. Do something positive. And go watch Solo.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.